Word of God and get what we can, God can help us. And surely God has done so much for us, we need to think about Him. Amen. A stand, please. Psalm 145, verse number 3. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. I was reading that verse, and I looked at it, and God smote my heart and said, great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. And I began to think on that, and the more I thought on it, the less I felt of myself, and the more of Him. And it really is all Him. We are nothing outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. I realize that we are children of God in Him, and in Him we live and move and have our being. Outside of Him, there's nothing. I couldn't get away from that. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank You for the Lord Jesus, and thank You, God, for the truth of this word. And I pray in Jesus' name You'd help me for a few moments, Lord, just to obey You. I need a divine touch. I need the unction from on high. I pray You'd help me to think, and that my mind may be saturated with the Holy Ghost. And Lord, that You'll saturate our very being, and that we will get self out of the way. And ask You, Lord, that in this subject of the greatness of God, that we may at least scratch the surface, at least begin to move in the realm of thinking that would cause us to worship in truth and in spirit, and then motivate us, Lord, not only to worship in here, but then to go outside the walls and to serve You. I pray in Jesus' name the power of God would work in our hearts, and we'll praise You and thank You. Now, Lord, we thank You for those who are here. I realize today there's some that would love to come, cannot come. And Lord, I pray for them and ask You to bless them and help them. You know every need of every heart of every individual here. I pray You save the unsaved, stir the hearts of Your people, challenge all of us, and thank You and praise You for who You are. And Lord, surely today, as I look at this scripture, I have to bow my head and humbly say, truly great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Thank You in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let me, as we look at this verse of scripture, that word great, I tried to find a definition for it. And Webster says much above the ordinary or average in some quality or degree. And I thought about that definition of it, much above the ordinary. In some quality or degree. Then I thought about great is the Lord and how it's used here in Scripture. And He not only in some way, in some manner greater than the quality or degree, He is in all ways greater in quality and degree. He is all together more than all the rest put together. I thought about that. He went on to say of most importance, and excellent, and splendid. And I said, amen, truly that's right. I looked it up in Strong's, see what he said about it, and he said, and this is just a quote, a part of it, exceeding, comma, more, comma, much. And then I thought about that, and I want to put it in reverse and take out the commas. Much more exceeding. Amen, much more exceeding. And I tried to bring you a message on the holiness of God, and I talked about, when you talk about His holiness, He transcends everything that we know. He's beyond everything that we can think about, and we use some of the attributes of God in trying to share that, and that ties in with the greatness of God. We come to church sometime, and we think about God as kind of like a Buddha somewhere, or I know we don't believe in Buddha, but we kind of got the same concept. He's somewhere off somewhere and did great things, but not personal relationship to Him here right now, but and who He really is. Now, And I know the day that I'll only scratch the surface. I'm not in any way, in any depth, get to say what I want to really feel in my heart. But let me try to do that. But in talking about the holiness of God, we talked about transcend our thoughts. He's omniscient. He knows everything. We know a little bit, but he knows everything there is enough. Man has studied, and he has, and Brother Patel talked about being an engineer, and Brother Walker over here is an engineer, and men and women have gone to school and accomplished much and learned things that I know nothing about, but they have learned that. But in the sight of God, that's not a drop in the bucket. The wisest man that's ever lived in the world are not but a drop in the bucket compared to him and what he knows. Then we talk about the power man. Man thinks he has some power, and he has harnessed the nuclear power, and we have nuclear planes, and we have bombs and all that kind of stuff. But that's nothing compared to God's power. He has all power. He is all powerful in all ways, all things. Amen. There is nothing impossible with God, and except God can't lie, and God can't do what's wrong, and he's God, so he can't do that, but he has all power and knows that. Then we have fast travel today, and man gets on a plane, jumps on a plane, one city, flies across country, he's there in a few hours, and there he is. But he's everywhere at one time. He's omnipresent, amen. And so, and I get to thinking about that and how great God really is. And I just want to brag on him. I just want to try just a little bit of what I can to say something about the greatness of God. And I pray God would help me do that for a few moments, because I realized when I read that verse and I began to meditate on it, and how I felt and how I feel right now as I approach this scripture and try to share it with you, it's a task that I realize that no man can fully exhaust and even begin to get very deep into, but as much as my little old mind will let me, my heart will go, and God will enable me, I'd like to try to share just three thoughts with you quickly about this greatness of God. He is greatly to be praised. Now, I'm still in introduction, just hang on a minute. And he's greatly to be praised. And we are, that means, if great means the much more than ordinary and than the average, then we ought to praise him more than anything else. Amen. And we see the world how they magnify ball players or some kind of something like that, and Jesus deserves more praise than all of that put together. Amen. We ought to give him more than ordinary and go beyond that and thanking him and praising him for who he is and what he does, and thank him. Hallelujah. And they sing the songs today about giving him thanks, and he has been good to us. And I have to say, thank God for his goodness to us. How good God has been and is to every one of us. And I praise him and thank him for it. And then thinking about the fact that of all of this and exceeding praise. And so let's praise him. Don't be ashamed to praise him in the house, outside the house of God, everywhere that we are, that we might give a word for him, a praise. How good God is, and God is good. And then said his goodness, his greatness is unsearchable. And I looked up that word unsearchable and came out with a profound definition: that which cannot be searched. That's what Webster said about it. And I thought, well, I guess that's all right. It's unsearchable, that cannot be searched. What he's saying is you can't search him out. You can't find out all of his greatness. I believe today if we even begin to get very deep into his greatness, we explode, and we couldn't take much of it. We couldn't handle it in this old body we have, because our body's incapable of doing so. But I'm going to try today to talk about that greatness of God. It cannot be searched. And so we're not going to try to do that. We're going to try to say something about it. But let's say, number one, talking about the greatness of God, and I'm going to talk about the greatest one and the greatness of God. So just tie it however you want to there. But let me say, number one, who? Who? Who is it we're talking about? Who is it that we're coming to say he's great? It said, the Lord is great. The Lord, Jehovah God, Yahweh, the Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Amen. There are three in one. There's not but one God, but manifested in three parts. And so he's Lord, and said, great is the Lord. And so today I want to say something about who he is. And how do you say who he is? I'm not sure, but I'll make a stab at it. And he's the one that inhabits eternity. And what is eternity? How do you define eternity? Eternity has no beginning and has no end. And God has no beginning and has no end. You remember when God revealed himself unto Moses, at least talked to Moses out of the burning bush? And Moses said, well, who do I tell them that you are? I go down there and tell them that the Lord has said, let my people go. Who? And they asked me, who is he? What am I going to tell them? He said, you tell them, I am that I am. Hallelujah. And I am that I am. What is that, preacher? I, personal pronoun, he is a person. Am is a present tense of the verb being. I am, he is a person, and he is right now, is the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, when did he begin? He had no beginning. What's it going to be then? Has no ending. And preacher, I can't understand that. Hallelujah. I'm glad you reached that conclusion. Because if you thought you could understand it, we'd need to take you down to somewhere and lock you up and have you examined somewhere. Because you can't understand that. I can't understand that. Nobody can understand that. He's God. That's why we have to bow and worship him. We didn't come in to worship a Buddha. We didn't come to worship Mohammed. We didn't come in to worship some other God. We came to worship the living God, the holy God, the only God. And he is, amen, he is. And the Bible says and talking about God, in the beginning God. It wasn't his beginning, but everything that we know out here in the universe, he's talking about when it began. He said he created it. He said, let there be, and there was. I got to thinking about now God, I was foolish enough to try to think this thing a little bit. And I got to think about now God before anything out there. And you just inhabited eternity. What was it like? The Holy Ghost said, you can't even begin to think about it. I don't know. Somebody tried to say about the universe one time, says if we could think of it, we're young in eternity. How can you be young in eternity when it had no beginning and it had no ending? It just is. Hallelujah. If you don't get anything else I say today, when you go out these doors, I want you going out saying, he is, he is, he is. Hallelujah, he is. And I wish I had a vocabulary to go farther than that, but I'm limited in my vocabulary. But I just know one thing, he is God. Amen. He inhabits eternity, and I know he's always been, always will. I can't understand that, can't conceive of it, can't make it. I can't tell you all about that, but I can tell you who he is. He's God. Amen. He's Lord. He's a creator. He's sustainer. He's a bright in the morning star. He's the desire of all nations. Hallelujah. Amen. He's a prince of peace. He is the counselor. He's a mighty God, everlasting Father. He is my Savior. Amen. My Lord. He is I am that I am. And so now you can leave out today. And if we didn't get anything else coming out on this snowy morning, just that he is. And leave out saying, what a great Savior. What a great God. A God that so loved that he gave. Now, I'm about to run ahead of myself. Who? I've said a little bit about the who, and I can't say much more about the who because I can't tell you much about the who in the sense I'm talking about him there, but I can tell you about the who in the sense that I know him personally. Amen. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. I know he loves me.
Amen. My wife loves me. My children love me. My grandchildren love me. But I can tell you right now, nobody's ever loved me like he loved me. Amen. It's an unsearchable love. And it cannot be searched out. God that was before everything else was has stepped out and said, let there be, and created. And then he created man out of the dust of the ground and made me and loves me. I can tell you nobody's ever loved me like he loves me. I can tell you who he is. He's a Savior. He died on the cross of Calvary for our sins. I tell you who he is. He's the altogether lovely one. Amen. He is the one to speak peace to your heart. He's the one to make your sins whiter than snow. He takes them away. He's the one, thank God, that will forget them. Amen. And put them behind his back and cast them to see him as forgiven. Who is he? He is the one altogether lovely. Hey, draw nigh to him. He said he'd draw nigh to you. Seek him while he may be found. He said, repent and believe. And so I'm telling you today, God is God. He's Lord. He's everything that we need. He's all. He's what else is he besides? This everything you see around here physically, all the world and everything about is going to dissolve one day. And so thinking about great is the Lord. Who is he? He's just an eternal being that created, and we worship him and adore him. And he is I am. Now, what did he do? Well, I got ahead of myself. I already told you, he created. He created everything that there is. Somebody said it's a big bang one day. May have been a bang. I don't know what kind of bang happened. I don't know how God, when he spoke, it may have boomed. I don't know. Bang, nothing. When God said, let there be, and the world began to spin around, and stars. Did you know the Bible says he calls all the stars by name? And I can't even count them. And you can't count them, but he does. He knows every star by name. I say hallelujah. And before he ever created this world, he created angels. He created Lucifer. All of that before, Lucifer came in the garden. He had to be before then. And so God's the beginning of everything. He created everything. Made it all, and I can't comprehend all of that, but hung the sun up and the moon up and the planets up and put everything in movement and everything a certain distance. That's God. And I come today, what did he do? He made it all, but he created man in his own image one day. And the crowning touch of all of it was God created man. And I realize the fact that man sinned and left that perfection place where God had put him. And God had placed him in that place of worship and cool of the day, day by day, and fellowship. And man sinned and disobeyed God, plunged into darkness. But oh, God so loved that he gave. I can't get over that. How God called Abraham out, how God prepared an Old Testament and over again showed us a sacrifice, 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 and said the life of the flesh is in the blood. But then, thank God, one day at Calvary, see, we're coming out of the Christmas season. I'm glad Jesus came into the womb of a virgin. And you say, preacher, you one of those old-fashioned preachers that believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe Mary conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost of God. I believe she birthed a perfect being into this world. And she wasn't perfect, but he was. Amen. You're welcome for that. And as he grew up, he did no sin, thought no sin, had no gall found in his mouth. But then one day went to Calvary, said, I have power to lay down my life. And have power to pick it up. Hey, nobody killed Jesus. He laid his life down. Our sins made, and one sense nailed him to the cross. He was made sin for us, but he laid down his life. Talk about calling 10,000 angels while he could have spoke the word, and the world would have dissolved. He could have spoke the word, and everything in the universe would have burned up. He put it all in here. He could have took it all out. But somebody laid down. Now get what I'm saying this morning. And if this don't touch you, I pray you get on the altar and stay there all day if you need to. Because this, Lord, help us. Help us to think about God that inhabits eternity before everything. Love me enough to come down and down the cross of Calvary for me. Take my place and pay my sin debt and suffered all of it, and then was buried on the third day, rose from the dead, then ascended back to the Father, and now intercedes for it. I say hallelujah. I'm glad, thank God. I want to praise him and thank. He's greatly to be praised, because great is the Lord. And no Savior like him. Nobody ever loved like he loved. And thank God, what did he do? He did it all for us. Amen. Gave us in the Word of God, gave us a New Testament, told us and explained to us in the epistles about the church and the gospels about his coming and his dying and acts of spread of the gospel and going out and carrying the Great Commission out and how we need to do that, and then explained it, expounded on it, and showed us how miserably failures we are outside of him. But he's always there to help us and encourage and strengthen, and then showed us the consummation of it in Revelation. I'm glad for that. Who is he? He's one that is altogether more than I can tell you who he is, except he's Lord. He's Lord. Not everybody says, Lord, Lord. Somebody read that this morning. Not everybody says, Lord, Lord, knows him as Lord. Just those who are saved. Then what did he do? He created everything, put it all up there. And then he died for us. I can't get over that. How do you explain that? What words do you use to put that into? The Bible is the best one you can read about it. But when you try to expound on that, how can you go beyond that? All I know is that he's God, he's Lord, greatly to be praised. I know that he loved me and gave himself for me. Then I know what he's going to do, something about what he's going to do, not everything, but I know something about it. He's going to keep on saving everybody that'll come till Jesus takes us out of here, amen. Well, He'll be saving those in tribulation that will believe, but the Bible said those that heard the gospel and those that had opportunities, he'll turn them over, reprobate mind, let them believe a lie. They might be damned because they wouldn't believe the truth. And you see, people don't just get saved because they decide, well, I better get saved right now. They get saved. They don't decide that unless the Holy Ghost begins to work in their hearts and does a convicting work. Amen. But I'm glad Brother Pertell talked about being convicted, nobody helping you. When the Holy Spirit's convicting you and drawing you, you can come to Jesus and ask him to save you, and he'll save you by his marvelous grace. You know how Brother Kenyon's granddad got saved? Somebody carried the gospel over there, and he heard about Jesus, and he got saved. Somebody, God uses people to tell other people. Somebody said it's like a beggar telling another beggar where to get bread. Amen. I got bread one day, and I like to tell everybody else where they can get bread. Amen. He's a bread come down from heaven. He's life. I was looking for life. I was trying to find what life was about, and life found me one day. Hallelujah. He came by my way, knocked on my door, and convicted me and drew me by his power. And I got saved, born in the family of God. And I say, hallelujah, amen. And what's he going to do now? He's going to keep on saving those who come. And what does he want me to do? Keep on telling it. Keep on telling it. Keep on telling it. Amen. He'll keep on honoring his word. He'll keep on doing what he said he'd do if we'll just do what he wants us to do. He'll do his part if we'll do ours. And then let me say this. He promised me he's coming back to get me. Hallelujah, amen. What's he going to do? This great God of the universe, this one that put it all in place, this one that died for us, rose for us, he's coming to get us one day. I say hallelujah, amen. I praise God for that. Just think about it. He's coming to get us. I remember the day my wife and I got married. I don't advise young people to do it like we did it, but Brother Pertell told about what he did, and I didn't feel too bad after he got through. When he was a little bit older, not a whole lot, but a little bit older. But I remember that day now, my best friend and my first cousin he was going with and later married, they'd gone over earlier and snuck some clothes out of our house. And then I was going that morning, and I was going to pick her up, and we was going to go get married. I remember driving, I had to drive across a mountain to get there, and we didn't have telephones and all that stuff, and we wrote letters, and when we went out, when we first started going out together, I didn't know if I was going with her or her sister, because her sister wasn't much younger, but she always went with us. And fact is, the night I asked her to marry me, I had to take her sister by her grandma's, asked her to stay there just a few minutes. But that morning, when it come time for us to get married, and my best friend, his mother said, "What's those girls' clothes doing hanging in your closet?" But I got him in trouble. He had to try to explain that belonged to somebody else and wasn't his girlfriend. But anyway, y'all, I said I didn't advise this. I'm just telling you what I did. But she knew I was coming. And she knew that we had this thing planned out. And we got saved later, by the way. But anyway, we had this thing planned out. Had lied somewhat along the way. And we supposed to be going out picnicking or something. I forgot what we supposed to be doing. But anyway, I go over there and pick. But I was excited that morning thinking about it. I'm going to go get her. And I believe she was excited. She may not admit it now, but she's excited too. That young man that she fell in love with, he's coming over there to get her. And she lived across the mountain there and out in the country. And I lived out in the country on the other side of the mountain. And so here come a country boy after a country girl. But what was exciting about that in my heart is a pounding, you know, I'm going to get married. I'm going to marry that girl. I remember the first time I saw her in church. I met her in church. And I had religion before I got saved. But anyway, I was in church and I saw her. I thought, man, I'd like to meet her. And we worked it out through my cousin to meet her. But anyway, and that day come, I was going to go get her now. We've been together somewhat together, amen. And we didn't go out like a lot of folk do today, but when we could on weekend, we'd get together and go somewhere and go to church, go to singing, go to this. And I kind of like that kind of going together, amen. But anyhow, it come time. And what I'm trying to say is it was exciting. I was just young and thinking about this is going to be my bride and we're going to start a home and we're going to be together. And I was excited about all of that. I was excited about the fact here we are and I was going to get her. And she's going to be mine and I'm going to marry her. And we went over Mountain City, Tennessee. Lied some more. Virginia, they made you prove it. And over in Tennessee, they let you lie and get by with it. So we headed to Mountain City, Tennessee. Go over there. Back then, you had to have a blood test. And we had the wrong color paper with us. Because it was out of state, we had to have another color paper. They said, send us down to the doctor's office and said, get the other kind of paper. Went down there. Get that, and doctor put us in a room, little old room there, and told us to wait and handed me the funny paper. Told me to read that. He saw I was shaking, I guess. And thought if I read the funny paper, I might settle down a little bit. And so did that. Finally got the right paper. Then we found the preacher. He's fixing to marry somebody else. We just had to marry us too. But it was exciting. It was exciting. It was great. Now, y'all don't know where I'm going, do you? So you're digging yourself a hole what you're doing. No, I'm telling you something. Just hang on with me. What God's going to do? We went off, got married, went off and rented a room and other people that morning at breakfast, they looking at us. I guess they wonder what in the world is those youngins doing out here together. So once somebody hadn't approached us, but they didn't. We got through that. But I'd get back to work on Monday, so we didn't have long to tarry. And We headed back home. Here's the part I'm getting to. What's God going to do? I had to take her back over to her house to get the rest of her clothes. Guess who was sitting on the front porch? Now, this is in July. Her dad and mom sitting on the front porch when we pulled up. And he had a switch in his hand. And I said, well, here we are. Now, I'll tell you, one of the longest walks I ever made in my life was from that car. Sitting in that driveway to that porch. I thought, now, is he going to take both of us out and wire us out? Is he going to hit me up in the side of the head and tell me to get out of there? Is he going to call the police and send me to jail? I wasn't sure what was going to happen. I did not know. But when we got there, it all worked out okay. And I'll never forget what her mother told her, said, you made your bed, now lay in it. But we talked it over, got everything settled between us and them, and we had a good relationship with our father-in-law and mother-in-law. But one day, I tell you what's going to happen. One day we're going to have to meet the one that sent us out here, the one that created all of it. Now, that walk from that driveway to that porch is long because I didn't know what her dad was going to say. But I know what my father's looking for over on the other side of glory. He's looking for fruit. He's looking for me to bring in the sheaves. He's looking for me to be out there gleaning in the corners. He's looking for me to bring in somebody, bring somebody with me. He's looking for me, amen. And when I met Mr. Jones that day on the porch, I had to answer for my actions. I had to answer for, one had to answer for hers. And we had to answer to them. They were had been her authority in her life because they're the mom and dad. And here we are. I want you to know Jesus Christ is Lord of glory. There'll be a day we'll have to bow before him and give him glory and honor and praise. But we'll also give an account of our lives. And when we do that, then it'll be maybe a lot different about how we see things then than it is now. Because then we're going to see it, I wish I'd done more. I wish I'd reached more people. I wish I had tried harder, prayed more, read my Bible more, witnessed more, tried to tell others. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Father, just want to say thank you for letting me try to preach for a few moments. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Lord, I can't even begin to talk about it. But I pray today the Holy Spirit would make it real to hearts. And Father, help all of us remember there'll be a day that we'll have to meet you. You're coming back to get us. Thank you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let's stand, please, and sing, Brother Tim. If you need to come, bow. Just talk to God about your life. I know after Sunday school we had a time of prayer, but I won't do that again. If you'll just come and let God help you. If you need to come, come on.
Sing. Have thy affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right? Lost, is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Hast thou dominion o'er self and o'er sin? Is thy heart right with God? Over all evil without and within, is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly,
right in the sight of God.
Is anybody here today say, preacher, I did not come to the altar, but I want you to pray for me. Would you slip your hand up just by an uplifted hand? I have a special need spiritually in my life. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. Anybody else quickly over the house? Anyone else quickly? God bless you. I saw that hand. God bless you. Thank you. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you today for the privilege we have to be in the house of God. I pray now, seal the words to hearts. Help all of us leave out saying how great our God is. May we leave out saying, what a wonderful Savior. May we leave out with the challenge to tell somebody else about Jesus. Then those who lifted their hands, I pray for them. I ask God you speak to their hearts. You help them whatever way they need that spiritual help in their life. Some may be unsaved. Some may be needing spiritual help along the way. Some need that boldness. And maybe some that need something else in their life. But Lord, you're able to meet every need and every life. I pray for them and lift them to you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Good to be in the house of God today. Take time to fellowship. Speak to somebody. Everybody around you, come back tonight. Come praying. Come trusting God. Give me a moment. Walk down the middle aisle.